in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to this episode of the Ron and Don Show, episode 720. Wow. We are live in the Les Schwab studio.
What's up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, all this week, Les Schwab is doing something really cool. They're fighting hunger this month, right?
Yeah, it's Fight Hunger Month with Les Schwab, and they are asking you to go to lesschwab.com/Ron and Don if you want to help out fight hunger in our area. The cool thing I like about this, we've teamed up with Les Schwab, with Cairo 7 TV, and with QFC to say, hey, we realize that inflation has been in full effect for a while now. There are families in and around our neighborhoods and communities that are food insecure, and that we want to help and be part of our community. So if you want to be a part of that, you can just go to leschwab.com/Ron and Don and find out more right there on that page.
Yeah. Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, we're going to talk about the fact that America is evidently sick of swiping. Yeah. But they're not sick of swapping. We're talking about a world-famous pitcher that swapped wives and how that worked out. He was actually a really good pitcher, but no one ever talks about his pitching because they're just so enthralled by the story of trading wives. And my question is, did they trade wives? Or did the women trade husbands? I actually dated a girl whose parents swapped with another couple. And I'll tell you that story. I don't think I've ever told you that story.
No, I can't wait to hear about it.
Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. There's kind of a theme in this show. I love BuzzFeed. People just basically pose a question, and then people start telling their stories. And the question is this on BuzzFeed today. Was there anything that ever happened when you walked into you start to date someone, they become your significant other, and then it's time to go home and visit the parents, the grandparents, the siblings for the first time, maybe during the holidays or something, or on a vacation. Melanie writes, I was visiting my now husband's family with him on Christmas after we just started dating. They knew that we were coming by as his mom picked us up. When we got there, his dad was sitting in front of the TV in his underwear. Here's the best thing. He doesn't seem shocked by it. He gave me a hug when he greeted me. Then he went right back to watching darts. And his very little grayish boxer shorts. He didn't talk to me until saying goodbye. Kind of weird stuff right there.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. Someone said, this is Jimmy. He said, I went to this place, which I shared with a cousin who worked at a hospital. We were just talking. I happened to notice a small jar with liquid, and I looked inside. There was a severed thumb in there, just sitting on a display case with other knickknacks. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. My boyfriend, who I met on vacation in another country, but we both happened to live in the same area, was going through the process of divorce. His ex went off the rails partying in his absence, so he got possession of the big, beautiful house. I was excited to see it and be there, but when he got the keys and entered for the first time in months, I was greeted with several self-portrait-type paintings of his ex-wife's boobs.
I don't even know what that means.
She had also painted herself in the garage with imprints of her boobs in her butt. So finally, when my now husband and I were dating in college, he lived in a house with a few other guys. He had an unfinished basement room with nails sticking out of the concrete walls. The only piece of furniture was a bare mattress on the ground. All of his clothes were in a massive pile next to an unopened IKEA dresser kit.
Sometimes they're hard to assemble.
We've all been there. There's a lot of big venomous spiders that lived in the area around our college. So there was a ring of glue straps around the mattress to catch the spiders. Anyway, some of those spiders were still on display. It was like walking into a horror movie.
You say, you just gave me a flashback with the second story you read. So I play poker, and not as much as I used to, but I still play. One time I was at Snoqualmie Casino. I was playing in a tournament, and there's a thing you do when you play where you want to protect your cards so that they don't accidentally get thrown in the muck. So you have a card protector. Most people use something like a coin. Sometimes you'll have someone that has like a Seahawk memorabilia, and they'll stick it on there. Some people will have maybe a little action figure or something that their child had given them as good luck. And I was playing one time at Snoqualmie, and I look over, the guy two seats away from me had a card protector I'd never seen before. And I looked at it closely, and it was a severed finger that he had put encased in some kind of acrylic or epoxy. And I was like, is that a prop? He's like, no, I accidentally cut my finger off, and I had it. So I called the floor over. I'm like, I'm not playing with a severed finger on the table set in epoxy. Like, it's distracting. It's gross. I don't know if it's legal.
You think he did it on purpose?
I think he thought it was a good luck charm. Like, oh. I don't know, but it was a severed finger. Wow. And you could see it inside the clear epoxy, and he would pick it up and play with it and put it on his cards when he was in a hand. And I'm like, this is not a thing. Like, we're not going to sit here all day and try to play cards with this guy's got a severed finger on the table.
Yeah.
And the floor made him put it away.
Oh.
The floor made him put it in his pocket.
Put your finger away. More in a minute. It's Don here with my good friend Andy from Les Schwab. He's an Eastsider. We're not going to hold that against him. Andy, you guys are doing something cool. It's Food Awareness Month, the month of April. We're going to drive out hunger. We're working with Cairo 7, QFC, and Food Lifeline. You want people to head over to QFC, buy some food, and drop it off where?
We're taking those donations at all of our 83 Western Washington Les Schwab locations. You can do a monetary donation at QFC. But the biggest thing is we're collecting this food so that we can distribute it within our communities to help out the families in need in our areas.
Yeah. So don't forget, Cairo 7 Cares, our good friends at Food Lifeline, Les Schwab, and the Rondon Nation, we're all working together. You can donate your non-perishable food item at any of the 83 Western Washington Les Schwab Tire Centers. All food collected will be delivered to Food Lifeline to feed local families right here in our area. So join us, you guys. This is brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers, Cairo 7 Cares, and QFC. Les Schwab Tire Centers. Doing what, Andy? The right thing since when?
1952.
You nailed it. All right, so this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawk game, and I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day, says, hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii, owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii. He said, I'm never going home. So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, hey, I got to sell this house. I call Scotty. We go over the house. And this house has a foundation problem. It has a roof problem. It has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000. And then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends. Because again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, you know what? I'll pay $1,060,000 for that particular house. So, case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, wow, this thing has a bad foundation. This thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here. So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home, it has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. Because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And some sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. Ron and Don, sitdown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. I have to say, my friends that do a lot of dating on apps seem to continue to just do a lot of dating on apps. But Ron, a new story out says everybody's sick of swiping. And are they sick of swiping, or are they sick of actually not meeting real people on those apps? Because we talked this week a lot about scammers. Scammers have certainly found their way onto those apps, and they use that to prey on people to ultimately play the long game and break into their bank accounts after they catfish them or get them to send money. I shared a story one time about being catfished by a woman that said she was in the military. She sent me pictures of her.
If it was a she.
Yeah, she wrote me one day and told me there was a real bad. She was a nurse in Afghanistan, I think, and that there had been a really bad explosion. And I looked online, and sure enough, there had been this really bad explosion. And I knew it was coming. I just didn't know what the ask was. Do you remember the story?
Yeah. Didn't she want you to buy raw diamonds or something like that?
No, she had diamonds, and she was coming home. She wanted to get married to me. She was coming home. She said to McCord, and that we would meet, but she would go get the diamonds first, and that she needed $56,000 to pay for security. And also there's a holding company that's been holding $4 million worth of diamonds that is either her mom or dad had left for her in the will, but there was some kind of back tax that had to be paid in England. So I needed to buy her a ticket to England. She was going to fly to England and then get the diamonds and then bring the diamonds to me. And then she was going to split the diamonds with me.
Oh, because it's 50-50 community property.
Well, then I wanted to know. I'm like, if I'm putting up the $56,000 though, and I'm only getting half the diamonds, I told her, I think it's fair that if we can use one of your diamonds for the engagement ring, because I want to hang on to mine, because I've invested $56,000 here, and all you've invested is your time. She thought that was pretty fair. And then I think we took her picture. You took her picture.
Reverse image search.
Yeah, and we could see that this image had been used all over the world on other scams.
But the story that you talked about was this long piece on how we may have reached peak swiping. I think it's under the umbrella of interest rates going up with money, because for the first iteration of these swipe apps, which was Tinder and Grindr, were the first two apps where you would swipe right, swipe left. Like that tech, that was a new thing back in the day that no one had ever thought of, is that the money was cheap. They're trying to get market share. And so they're trying to become the biggest and best app. And so for the most part, when it first started, it was free for the users, because the companies were trying to get a big enough user base. The model back then was, if you get to 100 million subscribers or whatever it was, then we can take this company public and we'll make money in the stock market because our company is public. And so it was free for a long time. And then Bumble broke off of Tinder because there was a female executive at Tinder that thought she was mistreated. So she created Bumble to just have a different culture, et cetera, et cetera. So then you had all these apps. And now one of the things that they've said is all the apps now, because it's a kind of a mature technology, they're charging you for everything. So where it used to be free, where you could swipe right or left and meet a real person, go on a date, now everything's behind a paywall. So if you want to, you know, talk to direct message someone, or they'll show you a profile, like, hey, you can't match with them unless you pay $19.99 a month or whatever it is. Mm. So all these things are behind paywalls, and the free aspects are shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And then the other thing they talk about is generation, the current generation, millennials and younger, are not into it anymore. They're just like, it's just like, it's not my thing. Like they don't have the same drive to be partnered up early. It's more of a hangout culture in a lot of ways. Yeah. And they're like, maybe I'm just going to go back to hanging out with a group of friends. And then if I find someone I'm interested in romantically, I'll do it that way. But yeah, I've swiped on these things and have seen that as well. I've had most of the time, the scammers you can spot pretty quickly. I had one here a while back that was actually pretty sophisticated. And like, I was going down, I was like, wow, it was fun banter. Like many times you can see that this person doesn't speak English as their first language. There'll be some like non sequitur sentences and some tropes that happen really early. This one went on for a while before the Bitcoin thing popped out. I was like, I think I actually texted back. I was like, wow, like good job. Like you passed as a real person there for a while before you sprung the Bitcoin on me.
Oh, so you were convinced.
Yeah. Like we were going to schedule an in-person meeting. And then the Bitcoin thing, but that's only happened once out of the however many dozens of times you get the scammers that you match with.
Yeah. All right. More in a minute.
Hey, it's Ron and Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him better as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, you have a really cool new product for investors. I think it's kind of the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so we have a great new investor cash flow program. And what this is we take the house you are buying and we inspect it, not you, the borrower. And so what we do is we look at the house and we say, will it cash flow? If you put 20% down, will it make more money than it's going to cost you to keep paying off your mortgage? And if it does, it's yours. It doesn't matter what you make on your own. It doesn't matter all these other things that we usually have to document. They don't matter. They're gone. It's just, does this house make sense? And if it does, you can buy it.
All right. So you can go up to four doors, up to four units on this. And Don and I have never heard of a product like this. It's pretty exciting if you've been wanting to get into the investment game. So go to Mitch.Loans right now. Set up a time to talk to Mitch. See if you qualify for this new program. That's Mitch.Loans.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Fritz Peterson, no longer with us. This according to the Herald News. He was actually a very good pitcher for the Yankees back in the day, but you wouldn't know it. And that is because of his notoriety, which stemmed from an announcement during spring training in 1973 that he and a teammate were swapping wives. The exchange sparked a New York Daily News front page headline that says two Yank pitchers trade wives, with a subhead, Peterson, Ketchik, Hurl, changeups. Then they go on to talk about what a great pitcher he was. And
well, they exchanged families as well, right?
Yeah. Ketchik had a 5-year-old at the time and a 2-year-old. And then the other pitcher had a 5 and a 2-year-old. They swap wives. They swap families, and then it seems like for Fritz Peterson, it worked out, and they stayed together. And the other Yanks pitcher, they ended up breaking
It's a
up.
Shockingly open-minded group. They said that in the off-season that they would hang out. They were teammates, so they liked each other. They started hanging out with each other's family, and they both simultaneously, or within pretty short order, realized that they got along better with the other person's wife, and that they were falling in love with the other person's wife. And so instead of having an affair, they came out in the open and said, what would you guys be open to, like, we'll just trade families. Yeah. So the women keep the kids and just the husbands will move. And they did it. So they like just swapped straight up. One of the players then got traded to Cleveland, I believe.
Yeah.
And so it had to take the first guy's family with him to go play as a Cleveland Indian at the time. I've never heard that type of swap story before.
I
I've heard people that have tried polyamory or whatever it's called, but not just straight up swapping families,
yeah,
getting divorced and remarried to the other person's family.
I can't imagine the, I can understand, you know, couples hanging out and cause I think people do that in groups of friends when they're younger. You often our friend Scotty, who coaches football with us, his buddy Ron, and they've been best friends since they were little boys. He loves to tell the story that he dated Scotty's wife first and went out on a date. And he tells it all the time. Like, he loves telling that story. So I can see when you're hanging out with groups of friends, and maybe even when you're younger and you're married, but swapping the whole family, I would think you would have such an attachment to your kids that it would be, it's like, you got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. I got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. Let's just swap them.
It was the same thing. I tried to do a version of this one time in my 20s. Went on a couple dates with woman A, and it was fine. Like, it was great. Nothing romantic had really happened. Then she said, hey, I'm watching a movie over at my place. Why don't you come over? It's just me and my roommate. I was like, great, go over. And absolutely hit it off with the roommate. So, like, it was undeniable the chemistry I had with the roommate. And so I said to myself, again, I'm probably 25, 24. I was like, you know what? I was like, everybody sees this. This is clear. Like, nothing's really happened with the first woman. Everybody can see the chemistry I have with the roommate. So I'm just going to be a man. I'm going to approach these two and just tell them that I want to do a swap. And so I tried that.
Yeah.
And I went to them. I was like, hey, how's about I stop dating you and I start dating you? And would it surprise you to learn that they both rejected that out of hand?
Well, if you're going to swap, don't you have to provide another guy?
That's a good point. Yeah. I didn't realize that was part of the deal at the
I
time.
I think that's part of the deal.
So I just tried to do the cold swap, evidently. Kick to the curb. Never went on a date with either. I don't think I ever talked with either of them again. And I in short order, learned that was something that I was really, really wrong about. Like, yeah, that's not a thing, except for in this story.
Yeah. I'll tell my, I dated a gal whose parents swapped, but didn't tell everyone, including her. They swapped at a very young age. And then we found, and I was there in the room, and we found out on her mother's deathbed. In fact, the other couple was there. It was pretty crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll share that story another time. I think I just shared it.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. Don't forget, if you need us, just reach out. If you want a buyer playbook or a seller playbook for a real estate business, we'd be glad to send you an ebook. Go to ronanddon.com and also get signed up for the Nation News. It's a way to stay in touch with you. We don't sell your information. All right. So just we write a newsletter. We send it out once a week, maybe 3 times a month. And it's a way for us to just tell you what's going on in our lives and also what we are learning when it comes to real estate as well. Speaking of that, Ron has just gone viral for an article he wrote, and it's about some of the Dave Ramsey principles. And if you don't know who Dave is, he started out doing a radio show. People love him, and he really coaches people up about getting out of debt, making good investments, buying real estate, building a wealth snowball. And he creates all these steps of things that you need to do. And he really believes in not using debt and taking on debt in order to make money. So he doesn't believe in that. So anyway, he takes people's phone calls, and they will ring him up. And I don't know if you ever listen to any of these online, Ron. They're really great. And people just say, hey, Dave, I'm $420,000 in debt. And then, boom, he just he pummels them, especially the men. And then every once in a while, someone that really needs help, he's really kind and nice, and they swoop in and kind of save the day. So anyway, Ron wrote about some of those Dave Ramsey principles. It's gone viral. He's going to talk about that on the Friday show, because Dave really believes in investing in real estate as well. All right, head up, shoulders back. We'll see you for that episode on Friday. You've been listening to episode 720 of the Ron and Don Show. Thank you for making us your friends, your broadcasters, and your real estate partners. All right, till next time, head up, shoulders back. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show. All right, on the Ron and Dawn Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Dawn Radio Network.